guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Get on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and joining me now is Parthu Padia. You know him. He's from the Daily Memphian. From what I understand, John Martin and Jason talked about this. You're a one-name superstar, right? You're Parth. We know you as Parth.
Yeah, man.
Around these you're a one-name superstar.
They said like LeBron, like Wemby, like Drake. You know?
There we go.
I'm with it, man.
There we go. But he is on X at P.U. Padia. Again, Daily Memphian reporter for Tiger basketball. We have a lot of Tiger basketball to talk about, though. I mean, there's never a dull moment. We know that the recruiting is going to be absolutely vital to what they do next season. And so far, PJ Haggerty, Dane Danger, and now let's talk about the new guy, Colby Rogers, 6'4". He'll have one more year because of a redshirt year and then the COVID year. But he was phenomenal for Wichita State last season. And he's really been good his entire career. It was Cal Poly, then Siena, and then off to Wichita State. But Wichita State, 39% lifetime career from three in college. And he had 16.4 points per game. Now, I see some people a little discouraged because you say, oh, Jaquan Walton was the leading scorer on Wichita State last year, and he shot 40% from three. But this feels substantially different. He had way more attempts, and he has way more experience. He's played for 3 years, where Jaquan Walton had some years off, whether he was at Georgia or transferring.
Yeah.
It's just different.
I mean, I will say similar idea as far as two guys who were college basketball journeymen, right? We talked about Jaquan Walton being relatively highly touted, went to Georgia, then went to a JUCO, then went to Wichita State, then at Memphis. Colby Rogers was unranked out of high school, but still, you know, spent time, like you said, at Cal Poly for two seasons, then at Siena for a season, then at Wichita State for two seasons where he played one and redshirted one. So a guy who has bounced around, but like you mentioned, you know, he did it at the lower levels at Cal Poly and Siena and then proved it again at Wichita State. He broke the program's three-pointers record for a single season last year, 99 three-pointers.
That'll do.
That's amazing.
He took 7.1 per game, if I have my stats right.
Yeah. Yes, 7.1 per game, 40.9% for the season. Every single three-point stat that he had is top 35 in the country. I'm looking at it right now. So 25th in three-point percentage, we said 40.9. 31st in made three-pointers, 99, and 35th in made three-pointers per game at 2.9. So, you know, top 35, top 40 shooter in all of college basketball, pursued by Kansas, by Alabama.
That's what you need to look at, right? Isn't that like,
yeah, who else is recruiting this
kid? Besides like right. the stats and everything right. else, because you could get fooled by that. We looked at last year, and there were some.
Jordan Brown, right?
Like, yeah, yeah. Like Jaquan Walton to a certain extent as well. But he did get recruited by Bama until the gun and. You know, he got stopped in his car, and we know all about that. And they had the Brandon Miller, Darius Miles thing going on. They wanted to space themselves out from that.
And
but you just
point,
need to look at yeah. who else is recruiting him. And Kansas and Alabama were involved.
1,000%. And to your point earlier, like, Jaquan Walton, I don't think his problems were skill-based, right? Like, obviously, the numbers weren't great. He was not great. He stunk it up from three. Only scored 8 points per game, whatever it was. But a lot of that stuff was kind of between the ears, I think.
Right.
I'm not calling him dumb or anything like that. I'm saying just, you know, let's be real. The chaos of the situation around him didn't really jive well with what he was trying to do, and he was part of that chaos. So
right.
there were some things there kind of, you know, personality-wise, character-wise, that didn't really blend with the team. And Penny's acknowledged that, not just about Jaquan Walton, but about multiple guys that he brought in last year. And by all accounts, from what I've heard from me talking to Colby Rogers, he seems solid. Obviously, a lot of this stuff is going to be determined, but he seems like a guy who wants to, you know, wants to be a part of something bigger than himself, right? Wants to be a part of something that's more than just him launching up three-pointers and scoring 18 points per game at, you know, a team that's going to go below 500.
Yeah, now holler at me about this. This is real. As opposed to last year, I know how we were talking about all the talent that was brought in. Obviously, it was a little later, and we're going to see some more guys commit late. And if David Jones comes back, it'll be up against the clock way late in the entire recruiting process.
Late
I understand
day, yes.
that. Mm-hmm. But as compared to what he recruited last year, how do you feel about this year as compared to last year and the types of guys he's getting?
Yeah, I think last year on this time we had Nicholas Jourdain, we had Caleb Mills, if I'm not mistaken, and we had Jonathan Pierre. I was looking at it last night, actually, because
right.
I was curious too, like, hey, where were we on April 15th, 2023? And I believe those are the three guys we had. Obviously, Jalen Young came shortly after, and then came that second wave of, you know, the big
yeah.
names, the Javon Quinterly, the Jordan Brown, the Jaquan Walton, David Jones. But, you know, if you're looking at it, I feel like even last year around this time, there was more buzz because you got a guy like Caleb Mills in, who was a preseason American Athletic Conference Player of the Year at one point, you know, had played at Houston, had played at Florida State, you know, played for big-time programs and big-name coaches. This year, you really don't have that. P.J. Haggerty obviously was the big splash, if you will, a top five transfer by most lists. But even him, man, like, he's only played one full season of college basketball, and he played in for a Tulsa program that was, you know, really not good. So he hasn't proven that he can be your alpha or your option one on a winning team. So even that has question marks on it. Obviously, Colby Rogers and Dane Danger coming taking a step down from the Big Ten from Illinois to the American, which is you know, gives you some optimism there. But Colby Rogers, obviously a player in the conference that did well, but at a bad team. So you've got question marks all over the place. But I think in a funny way, the fact that Penny and Rick Stansbury and the staff aren't chasing the bright and shiny objects, like, hey, what's the biggest, baddest, you know, player we can get in the building, that's encouraging to me. Just looking at it from that point of view, they're looking at, you know, what areas of need do we need to address, what were some issues last year, and the issues last year were defense and shooting, and they're starting to check those boxes, it seems like.
It's reminiscent of a couple years ago, I think. Like, the guys taking steps up from their previous stops.
But then the question is, can P.J. Haggerty be your Kendrick Davis?
Right,
and
yes.
That's asking a lot.
But I mean, 22 points per game in year one and in the AAC.
Well, you're right. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
But, and to be fair, also on Kendrick Davis's side, SMU was a lot more successful than Tulsa was.
1,000%.
There's no doubt about that under Jankovic.
Tim Jankovic, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Winning culture, winning program. But hey, look, maybe Haggerty doesn't have to be your Kendrick Davis. Maybe
David Jones comes back.
Right?
Maybe. We'll
doesn't
see.
Doesn't it look like the way the pieces are coming in, and I know it's way too early to kind of speculate or anything like that, but it just seems like the type of pieces that Penny and Rick are targeting
would
do well to supplement David Jones, right? Like getting shooting around him, getting defense around him, getting guys who are going to fill in roles and not kind of, you know, be ball dominant. It would suggest that they're maybe optimistic on David Jones coming back. Now, how much of that is just Penny being, you know, a forever optimist, and how much of that is reality, we don't know.
But even if they don't have David Jones, I know that T.J. Haggerty hasn't proven himself year after year after year as the dude. But David Jones, I mean, he didn't really do that at DePaul or St. John's. Like, it was way lower, like his production, his shooting
efficiency
at his previous stops.
Lower, yes.
But I'll say this. I think even without David Jones, P.J. Haggerty and Colby Jones or Colby Rogers at the top, there are worse things in the world. There are going to be worse teams in the AAC as far as offensive output. A guy who had 22 points per game and 16 points per game.
I just don't know and I don't think that'll be the case. Even if David Jones decides to go pro or decides to, you know, I don't think he will, but go elsewhere in terms of college, it'd be hard for me to imagine that in that scenario, Penny Hardaway and Rick Stansbury don't bring in another alpha type of player, right, to fill that gap. I'd be surprised if we go into the 24-25 season with, you know, your 1-2 punch being P.J. Haggerty and Colby Rogers. Not that they're bad players, but I don't know how far that's going to take you outside of maybe contending for, you know, an AAC title, which, again, would be a huge 180 from what we saw this past season, because that was insane. But I just don't, you know, I don't think that's gonna satisfy the fan base or people in the city, right? Like, just to be a top three team in the American Athletic and get bounced in the round of 64, that's not gonna do it.
Now, what else are you hearing? Who else do we need to pay attention to in the coming weeks? Aaron Scott was supposed to take a visit this weekend, and he's gonna take it next week.
No, Aaron Scott did.
Arturo Dean, maybe?
Arturo Dean,
it was reported
that he was not on campus and is gonna be delaying his visit.
Aaron
Scott, you know, was at the Grizzlies game on Friday. Looked to be there with Jaden Hardaway.
Yeah, Jaden Hardaway is director of recruiting.
Ambassador to the program, I guess. Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe he hops on the recruiting trail with Stansbury and Penny and those guys. I don't know. But, yeah, Aaron Scott was there. I think that'd be a hell of a get. 6'7", 3-and-D guy, NBA upside. Arturo Dean, somebody we mentioned a while ago. He's kind of undersized, as we know, 5'11 guard.
Bunch of steals, though.
Doesn't shoot the ball well, turns the ball over more than I would be satisfied or be happy with. But a bunch of steals, right?
Yes,
Reminds me kind of like an Alex Lomax type of player.
Yeah, he led the NCAA in steals.
Yeah. I mean, led the country in steals. And then you've got John Buggs III, which is a player I'm really high on. Kind of like a Colby Rogers, right? Like, shoots a lot of threes, but makes a lot of threes, doesn't need the ball in his hand to score, and is kind of happy playing that catch-and-shoot role, right? So, I don't know. Does Kobe Rogers' entrance, does that eliminate Bugs from contention? I'm not sure. They say you can never have enough shooting, so maybe they get him on board as well. But I think Aaron Scott would be a hell of an addition.
There, one thing we haven't seen besides Dane Danger, not a big prioritization of bigs yet.
Yeah, except that Washington State kid.
Yeah,
they've been in contact with.
Yes, who's
it.
A freshman from Nigeria, right?
Right. But so, aside from that, no real traction, right?
Connor
no
and I were trying to talk through this on Friday. Outside of, you know, the Jalen Duren and James Wiseman, straight out of high school, five-star, can't-miss type guys, right? He has not gone out of his way to prioritize a bunch of bigs. I guess he tried to do it with Jordan Brown, and that you know, came back to bite
DeAndre
him.
Williams. I mean, well, not a back-to-basket
yes. No,
big,
I get it. I get it. I get it. But, right? but a guy who did a lot of his offensive work, you know, around the perimeter and from the high post, getting off the bounce. Like, it's just different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think when we're talking about a true five for this program, what does that guy look like? Isn't that just a guy who runs rim to rim and rebounds?
Exactly. Not somebody who's going to demand that you throw the ball into him
and
kind of slow the offense down. But like you said, somebody who just crashes the glass. And you know, when the other team misses, he's one of the first guys on the other end of the floor. And you throw an outlet down the court and you get buckets that way. So I don't know if that guy just hasn't entered the portal. I mean, look, it's April 15th.
It's early.
I believe the portal closes end of the month or beginning of – it might be May 1st. So – you still got 15 days, 16 days left until the portal closes. There are going to be guys who are entering. Like, every day we see guys, notable guys, who are putting their name in the hat, so to speak, in that transfer portal. So I don't think what we see now is all that's going to be available, you know, even 2, 3, 4 days from now.
And we'll talk about that in a second, because Kentucky is losing everyone. And probably all those guys going straight to Arkansas. That's my guess.
Assume.
But we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. I mean, you have, what, 4 or 5 different guys in the high school recruiting class who have got out of their letter of intent, and Kentucky's allowed them out of the letter of intent.
And
so,
the notable guys from last season, like DJ Wagner, who entered the portal.
That's an interesting
today,
one, by the way.
I
would imagine
zero,
he ends up at Arkansas, but damn.
Yeah.
I know Memphis fans would be like, hey, DJ, come on home, brother.
DJ and Adu Thiro, both guys whose dads played at Memphis, obviously not under Penny Hardaway. But, you know, we're still Memphis Tigers.
Yeah, for sure. Talking with Parth Upadhyay at P. Upadhyay _ Daily Memphian beat reporter for the Tiger basketball. Memphis versus UNLV, you can holler at me about that. Home to home. Looks like the next season in Las Vegas, the return trip to FedEx Forum for UNLV would be 25-26. I mean, it just looks like it's shaping up to be a great out-of-conference schedule again.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you already had Clemson, right? You had the Clemson road game. You had the Virginia road game from the home and homes that they signed. I guess it'd be 2 off-seasons ago for those. You got Missouri, also a home and home they signed that off-season, coming to FedEx Forum now. So you already got those 3 Power 5 opponents.
Well, we'll see. Mizzou has—they have this thing where they like to opt out of the return trip. So we'll see.
Yeah,
but I would hope they haven't opted out yet. So I think
we're good. I thought you were going to say how historically dismal they were last year.
Oh, they were.
That was insane.
But he ended up. I saw he Dennis Gates ended up with the guy from Iowa, losing Tony Perkins, St. Louis guy.
Start.
So he had to start, but he's trying to hit the portal again.
Man, yeah. So we'll see what happens there.
It's hard to go. It's hard to be much worse though if you're Mizzou, right?
They didn't win a game.
Yeah.
They didn't win a single game in the SEC. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. If it gets even remotely close to that,
he's gone.
Area of bad. Dennis Gates is out of a job. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, you got those 3 Power 5 schools, and then you're in the Maui Invitational where you've got, you know, the elite, the elitist of the elite. You got defending champion UConn, 2-time defending champion. Excuse me, UConn. Got North Carolina, Michigan State, Iowa State, Dayton, Colorado. That's a loaded field there. And you got San Francisco, which is a, you know, respectable mid-major at Chase Center.
Yeah,
so,
people calling it neutral site. That ain't neutral site.
I call it semi-neutral.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not really.
I mean, it's in their city, but it's not in their building. Yeah, it might as well be a road game.
Yes, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's shaping up to be a nice schedule. Like, what did we said 3 Power 5s. We said the – I think it's going to be 3 games in the Maui Invitational, so that's 6 at least quality opponents. Then now you're adding in UNLV, and you've got San Fran in there as well. So, yeah, looks like about 8, right? If my math is correct, I'm kind of tired. 8 games settled in the non-conference and maybe like 5 more to go. So far shaping up to be another challenging slate. It's exciting.
I like the power conference teams, the Clemsons, Virginias, and then the Maui Invitational teams you could potentially play. I do like the the games where you get to compare yourself against other sort of mid-major programs.
Okay.
Teams yeah. there at I'm the top. The San Fran, who's been historically good, and they've been okay as of late. And then also UNLV.
Dayton.
UNLV,
they can see
yeah.
Dayton and Mal.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah. UNLV's done a really good job with that program, too. So it's not going to be an easy game by any stretch of the imagination. And the Mountain West is actually tough, very tough, quite frankly.
No, I mean, yeah, absolutely it's tough. I know
they don't have a lot of tournament success.
They get a lot of crap
besides
for the performance
San Diego
in March.
State.
Yes,
but
yes.
they are that's a tough conference. And, like, I don't know about you, but, like, during the college basketball season, I'll stay up and watch some of the late slate that starts about 9:30 to see how they're playing.
It was great theater.
Super competitive.
Right. I'll be honest, I didn't watch a ton of it, but, you know, just watching the highlights and catching a game here and there where I could. I mean, it was always great theater, always exciting, always down to the wire type of games against, you know, multiple NCAA tournament teams. And UNLV won 20 games last year. I was looking at that earlier. And I'm like, damn, like, you know, that's a program that's been down but is seemingly finding its footing under Kevin Kruger.
Now, before we move off of Memphis, I do want to ask this because it seems like right now they're going after the AAC All-Star team, Conference USA All-Star team, whatever the hell you want to call it.
No doubt.
I heard John Martin say this earlier, and I just want to hear your opinion on this thought. He said, you know, I like the guys they're bringing in, clearly good, productive guys, understand all that. It seems like it's more of a targeted act by Rick Stansberry and Penny, finding three-point shooting, finding some defense. But how much do you sort of get taken aback by the fact that, yeah, you're recruiting most of these guys out of, and it includes Aaron Scott and John Buggs, Arturo Dean from Florida International. He goes, you're recruiting all these guys from conferences that really stink, quite frankly. Like,
I mean, your own conference. That
yes, exactly. Like, is that uncomfortable? Is that uncomfortable? If you want to put the positive spin on it, is where did they lose their season last year? In conference. These guys played in this conference, had some success in this conference. Maybe that switches itself around.
They got guys from, you know, Alabama. They got guys from
St. John's.
Not that David Jones
was
phenomenal, but, you know, anyway, they got guys from big-time programs that have
Florida State,
at least a winning history, if not recent success. And you got, more so than that, you got guys who are big names, right? Like, guys who made national headlines by committing to Memphis, like your Javon Quinn, or at least David Jones, Jordan Brown, Jaquan Walton, et cetera. And it didn't work out well.
Yeah.
It didn't work out well at all compared to two seasons ago where, like we said before, you got the Elijah McAdams, the Keontae Kennedys, guys that just kind of flew under the radar, but were willing to, you know, play a role for the betterment of the team. And it seems like some of the guys that are coming in now, maybe obviously not P.J. Haggerty, but maybe your Dane Danges, maybe, you know, if you can get John Buggs III or Aaron Scott, those guys are going to fill a role rather than be your 1A, 1B, or even 1C, you know, which I think is encouraging that you're looking at filling out a roster instead of just accumulating as much talent as possible.
Yes. The other thing about this conference, though, going into next year, there should be no excuses not to absolutely own it, right? FAU.
So that last
complete,
year.
But no, well, but it was
no,
a little
no,
different.
No, yeah, yeah.
Little, you get where I'm going with this.
Defending Final Four.
I mean, North Texas was not as good, and they're losing just about, seems like everybody, almost everybody. Florida Atlantic, most of those guys may be headed to Michigan, John L. Davis, Vlad, whatever it is.
Yep.
UAB, I guess, is the team
UAB's
that you'd look at.
Good, man, they've had a good offseason
because
they got
a couple of guys on the transfer portal that are solid, and they still have
Miona,
Yaxa, Lindenborg, guys like that. So that would be the team you look at. But this conference, even more so than last year, feels like it's even more in flux. And now you have USF losing a bunch of guys. Kayshawn Pryor is looking at the NBA draft and the portal.
Chris Youngblood's
to Alabama, which may be a reason that Colby Rogers didn't end up at Alabama if you read the tea leaves. But, I mean, you look at the rest of this conference, it's even worse than it was last year on paper.
No, it is. And it's a lot more unknowns, like you said, even more so than last year with those new teams coming in. So, you know, you would think that Memphis should be, you know, with the players they've already gotten, right? Like, at an advantage. They should be the favorite, yeah. But, you know, we've got to see how it all shakes out in terms of the roster. And even then, even after it all shakes out, even after the season starts on November, whatever it is, I'd still
see how it sustains itself.
Exactly. I think it's totally fair to be skeptical after last season.
Should be.
We saw what appeared to be a, you know, good slash great team from November through, you know, mid to late December, and it just didn't work out that way.
That's one thing that Penny's never going to have again, I don't think, after last year is because I feel like last year a lot of it was just based on the talent. You saw a lot of people buying in blindly.
Kind of benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, you're like, oh, look at all these guys.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. These guys are phenomenal. The shiny, but Jordan Brown, 19-9. David Jones was phenomenal at St. John's. Javon Quinterly, he was a five-star recruit back in the day, and he was a SEC Sixth Man of the Year. Like, all these different things, you just sort of bought in blindly. I don't think, no matter what type of talent Penny brings in, I don't think you're going to have that same level of buying in blindly as you've had in the past.
No. I mean, maybe a small fragment of the fan base, but aside from that, no, you're not. And I think that's totally fair. You know, it's kind of like, hey, go out and prove it. You know, you said you want to.
It's 6 years. You know, it's 6 years worth of you know, data at this point.
It is. So, it is. And, you know, at this point, you've got to, at least for now, take his word for it that he's learned from last season. It was
sure.
an anomaly, that kind of disaster, and that he's going to recruit differently and more selectively, which, look, he said all those things, and he's doing them.
Yeah.
People are like, you know, who the hell are these players? But this is what Penny said he's going to do.
Yeah.
He's going to target guys who fit his system and fit his scheme and more than anything, fit the culture. I talked to Kobe Rogers yesterday, and he said a big part of his visit was, like, talking to Penny about what this program means. He said they showed him a video of the history and the tradition here. And I thought that was cool, man. Like, I didn't hear anybody else talking about that last year.
Yeah. Right? Well, like, but then Penny has his moments where he's like, we need more guys that will play for the city, that want to play for the city. So maybe that's the idea of showing that stuff ahead of time.
Maybe.
This is what you need to buy into.
Maybe.
Yeah. But that goes back to my conversation about this year in general. It just feels like there needs to be more program pillars, more non-negotiables that just aren't necessarily there. Now, talking with Parth Upadhyay, let's transition into the Kentucky Mark Pope intro. That was freaking cool, man.
It was cool.
That was well done.
It was awesome.
The Kentucky message boards were pissed, losing their mind on Friday when the hire was made.
Oh, man. Twitter was exploding.
Oh, my gosh. They're losing their mind. Bring back the 96 national championship team and have the trophy in Mark Pope's hands when they drive in on an RV.
Did the bus drive into Rupp Arena?
It drove into Rupp Arena.
That was amazing.
That was well done. That is how you
win the press conference.
That's how you win the press conference and get everybody's imagination rolling about what could happen with Mark Pope, how much he loves the program and all he's going to pour into it,
no doubt.
The different guys he'll bring back around. Like, that was well done, I thought, by Kentucky.
No, it was. And now you're looking at, I saw, you know, a Duke Thero's Instagram story or Twitter post or whatever it was. Like, he was back in Lexington and he had, like, that little eye emoji, you know, in the facility.
Yeah.
And the other guys who are now, sounds like, considering returning. So, man, you know, he won the press conference. He came out on the bus with his teammates from the 96 season, had the trophy, all of that. Now, if you get some of the guys from Cal's team last year back on board, and maybe you add a couple pieces here and there, look, man, Big Blue Nation's back on board just like that.
But, buddy, Jaden Quaintance decommits, Boogie Flan decommits, Carter Knox decommits, Somto Cyril decommits, and they have all – and by the way, Arkansas has plenty of spots. They have nobody on –
what did Cal say?
Yeah,
there's no
like,
team.
We have no team. We have no team. I met with three guys, and they're all in the transfer portal. And then the DJ Wagner, Aaron Bradshaw, and Avisic all in the transfer portal as well.
And Aaron Bradshaw committed to Ohio State.
I did see Mark Pope, and like, this is the biggest issue, right? Let me just throw this off you first. Player getting is the biggest issue with him, right, at Kentucky. That would be the scariest thing. It's like, can he bring in the amount of talent that is necessary to be super ultra competitive in the SEC?
Yeah, I think just – kind of to broaden it even more, I think it's galvanizing the troops, which Cal is probably the best in the country at, right? Like, selling things,
but
being a salesman.
Yes,
getting...
but with Cal, the salesman pitch sort of wears thin on people when you have the last 5 years he had at Kentucky, right?
No.
But he still brought in dudes, always brought in dudes. He's one
that
of
never
one.
Ended.
He's probably the best recruiter in college basketball history, arguably.
100%. And he still brought in dudes, and he still got the people who needed to believe. I think they still believed until the very end. And obviously things got tumultuous then. But, man, like, just his ability to get people invested and get people rolling and get their imaginations, you know, going wild. I think John Calipari is the best in the country at that. So I think in terms of Kentucky's gotten used to this sexy, flashy program where, you know, they're spending time at Drake's OVO mansion,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Shooting basketballs in the summer, and celebrities are coming through, and, you know, it's all flashy and exciting and Hollywood-esque. I don't know if Mark Pope can quite do that, but, man, if the X's and O's are better and if he can, you know, kind of, I guess, get the basketball side of things, I don't want to say elevated because Cal
yeah,
still was going to tournaments,
right.
But
win more than one tournament game in 5 years?
Exactly.
Right.
I think that would be it. Then, you know, that could be the start of something new.
What really strikes me about this whole thing, because this is more nuts than anything we've seen really with Memphis, and usually Memphis runs the headlines when we're talking about the transfer portal and everything that happens in the offseason. Usually there's some coaching switches along the way, so they usually feed us our spring into summer material.
100%.
This carousel threw me off because it was started by Rob Lanier, who doubled his wins in year two at SMU.
Yeah.
And it ended with John Calipari out at Kentucky. And we have two coaches now with, I would say, top 10 jobs, Louisville and Kentucky.
Yeah.
Historically.
100%.
Neither have won. They have a combined zero tournament wins. Like there's just some things about how this whole thing shook out that are just, like, hard for me to really grab onto and understand.
100%. Like, even, I was going to say 5 years ago, but shoot, man, even 2-3 years ago, I couldn't imagine Kentucky or Louisville hiring a coach that hadn't won an NCAA tournament game. Right, like hiring a coach that hadn't proven that he could win on the biggest stage, but, you know, here's Pat Kelsey coming up from Charleston, and, you know, here's Mark Pope coming from BYU where he didn't, like you said, didn't win a single tournament game.
Yeah, it's sort of
it's shocking, it's jarring, it's a new era.
And it looks like his plan at this moment. I saw that there's a couple of BYU guys who were good last year.
Yeah.
Dallin Hall, who was. Won their leading scorer, but he was the guy who facilitated everything for them. I think he had like 5 assists per game, sort of a bigger guard. Then Ali Khalifa, big. They both get in with
do not contact tags.
Yeah. And it's like, if your big plan on the recruiting trail for year one at Kentucky is, hey, let's bring my BYU team over here who didn't win a tournament game to try to compete at Kentucky. I don't know if I can be on board with that.
Yeah, people say that. That team finished higher than Kentucky and KenPom. Let's keep that in mind, right? But once again, that's not the bar, right? The bar is not to go back to the tournament and lose to a team like Oakland. That's not going to do it. That's why they got...
The bar at Kentucky is let's bring in DJ Wagners. Let's get guys to the NBA. Let's make a run to the second weekend, right? That's what the bar is for the most part.
But isn't it tough, though? Because, like we just said, Cal was still doing that. He was still bringing in the blue chips. He was still bringing in the five-star recruits, and it just...
And they did. He had a 2 and a 3 seed where it looked like, hey, we could get to the Elite Eight. We could get to the Sweet 16.
Ultimately, it wasn't working. It wasn't getting those deep tournament runs. So, you know, if Mark Pope wants to do things differently, wants to bring in guys that, you know, kind of fit a system right and play as a team versus bringing in the bright and shiny objects, and if Kentucky's patient enough to let him try to build something there, which patience
if
and
they're
Blue
patient
Nation just
enough.
Don't go together,
yeah,
right?
They don't.
Then, you know, maybe that could work, right?
Some of these message board things I was reading, though, on Friday are just so ridiculous.
Message boards are
crazy. Like, one person said, take Mitch Barnhart out to the pasture. I'm like, oh, my Lord. Would y'all relax?
Not yet.
Mitch Barnhart, this could go. This could be interesting for him, though. This could be sort
could
of
lose his job. Like,
I mean, if he doesn't get through, if this does not work, he could lose his job very easily.
100%.
And he had it good for a while with Cal and Mark Stoops. That was as stable a two coaches as you could have for that period of time.
I mean, even with Cal's shortcomings the past, 4 or 5 seasons, I mean.
Still been a good basketball
run,
product.
15-year, show me a better 15-year run. You can't.
Yeah.
You cannot. It was sensational. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I guess the question now is, like, after how many seasons do you make a judgment on if this is working or not with Mark Pope? And I think with Kentucky.
I think two.
Exactly.
I think two.
I don't think two should be the right number, but I think with
Kentucky
and knowing their fan base and knowing how things work over there, I think it's probably two.
It's probably two. What are you doing in the transfer portal? What are you doing in recruiting? He'll have the NIL. He'll have what he needs in resources. He's just got to come through, Mark Pope. But he understands the fans and that job, but that's not all that it takes to be successful in Kentucky. It's not all that it takes, because I think Kenny Payne probably had some understanding of what Louisville was supposed to be like.
Yeah.
Right.
Juwan Howard at Michigan. And,
yes.
You know, and like, Penny here is TBD,
Penny,
right? Like,
exactly.
So, this is, you know, it's more than just understanding the culture, understanding the fan base in the city. It's, you know. How do you use that to then build a program and build a culture and win games?
It's way more than that. But, Parth, I appreciate it, man. We'll do it again soon.
Man, appreciate you.
Yes, sir. That is Parth Upadhyay at PUpadhyay underscore. He is the Tiger basketball beat reporter for the Daily Memphian. Now, we need to go ahead and transition up out of here and get to the Blitz. And in the Blitz today, we've talked a bunch of portal news with Colby Rogers committing to Memphis. But as we talked about with Parth, there is a home-and-home that we need to discuss, Memphis and UNLV. And then also, there is a wide receiver for an NFC, one of the better NFC teams that is not going to show up to off-season workouts or OTAs. I'll tell you who that is next and what it means right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.